Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast, a weekly inspiration infusion for women of color and hematology. Dear woman of color and hematology, Heme Consults is your personal space to rest, recharge, and renew your spirit with a weekly infusion of inspiration from hematologist Dr. Toyosi Onwemena. Every Sunday, Dr. Onwemena will remind you that you are a superstar and have everything you need to succeed in your incredible career as a hematologist. Welcome to the Hematology Sisterhood that will transform your world.
Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast. I'm your host, Toyosi Onwemena, and it is an absolute pleasure, my absolute pleasure, to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I just want to celebrate all women of color in hematology and anybody else that's out there listening. And I want to just say that you are a gift. You are the gift that the world has been waiting for. The gift is you. And I know that many times you're working so hard to get more, to acquire, to better yourself, and all those things are good. But I do want you to recognize that you are the gift that the world has been waiting for. It's not what you have. It's not what you acquire. It's not the manuscript you write. It's not your publications. It's you. You are the gift. And all the things you do are good to the extent to which they build you and develop you and the person that you are and the person you're becoming. The more that they enhance you, the more that they enhance your gift. But they're not what's important. The publication is not what's important. You are what's important. And yes, in working towards the publication, you're building character, you're building resilience, you're building writing and your opportunity or your ability to express yourself. And that makes you a more powerful, more amazing you. But I need you to recognize that all that stuff is just stuff. And it's only important to the extent to which it enhances you. The gift that is you. And I want to thank you for being a gift to your generation. And I hope you recognize how precious, how important, how magnificent this gift is. Because what I'm inviting you to do before we even start this episode is to show up as that magnificent gift, is to recognize how beautiful and amazing the gift is. And so show up as someone who recognizes the power of the gift that she carries. Thank you for listening. Today, I am here to talk about the gift. And I'm here to talk about the gift that others give you. And to be honest, now that I'm talking, I realize that I may have recorded an episode like this just a couple of months ago now. But I think it's important enough to say again, and so it bears repeating, that everything you receive is a gift. And that's really important. The reason I bring this story is because you know how you change over time? And some things that you've said before or some things that you used to say, you don't even really believe those things anymore. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because if you're growing and maturing and getting more information, really your life should be changing. In fact, for me, it's not just changing, it's transforming. And one of the things that's been happening to me over the last year, and to be honest, over the last decade or more of my life, is that my mind is transforming. And every time there's a transformation, wow, I think differently. I go back and examine the thoughts that I used to have, and I realize that some of them don't necessarily serve me anymore. And I thank them for their service, and then I let them go. And one of those thoughts is the thought that I had that I didn't even realize that I had, that people owed me. That people owed me things. And I thought that, especially when I first started as a faculty member, I thought my mentor owed me. I thought my mentor owed me mentorship. I thought my division chief owed me direction. I thought my colleagues owed me respect. And, you know, when those things didn't come from them, I was very disappointed. And I worked very hard to provoke those things, right? I worked very hard to get mentorship out of my mentor. I worked very hard to get direction out of my division director. I worked very hard to get respect from my colleagues. And it was a lot of hard work. Because one thing is that people don't necessarily give what they don't have. And so someone who maybe wasn't even mentored well, or maybe doesn't even believe in your ability to succeed in a certain area, they can't give you the mentorship you're looking for. And if they are able to, recognize that it is a gift. Here I am crossing the mark and starting to tell you what I'm sharing, what lessons I think I'm sharing, rather than sharing the story. But let me finish the story. I really used to think everybody owed me something. And I'm like, this is your job. Well, you're my mentor. It's your job to be my mentor. As I'm thinking about it, I'm just laughing. I'm like, oh, you're so naive. But really, I just had this expectation that people were supposed to be who they said they were supposed to be. And to be honest, what I realize now is that people fall short a lot. They really do. And sometimes the key is to lower our expectations. And I'm not saying settle. Don't settle. But when it comes to settling, if we're going to use that word at all, the person who should not settle is you. You are the person who shouldn't settle. But when it comes to other people, what they give you is what you take. Don't ask people to be more than what they want to be to you. I'm going off on a tangent again. But anyway, let's just say I thought people needed to be what they were supposed to be in name. And so when somebody says, I'm your mentor, I thought, well, you've got to really care about me. You've got to give me opportunities and you've got to respond to my emails and you've got to meet with me. You've got to do all the things that mentors say they do. And in name, yes, they may have been mentor. But if somebody didn't give that to me, I got offended and I got upset and I got really angry and I called them names and I muttered under my breath and I had a bad attitude. Or if somebody who was supposed to be my division director didn't direct me in a way that I thought was reasonable, or maybe directed me in a way that I thought was a misdirection, I got mad. And I thought, what are you doing? And why are you misleading me? Why are you misdirecting my life? Or if I had an experience with a colleague where I felt disrespected, I was mad. And I thought, how dare this colleague treat me in such a disrespectful way? But now I think differently. And some of that is what I'm here to share with you today. I think what I realize is that people are people. And anything good that comes out of a person, good from your perspective, because sometimes it's bad and you see it as good, or sometimes it's good, you see it as bad, so that there's neither bad nor good. It's really neutral. It's how you interpret it. But whatever they give you, you really have the opportunity to interpret. And I interpreted for the longest time as bad, the things that many people did. Now I think people are people. And if they give me something that I perceive as good, it is a gift. And so for every gift that I've ever been given, I now am thankful. And yeah, I know that all those gifts did not necessarily come intentionally. And I know that some of those gifts were not intended as gifts. But for every gift I perceived, good or bad, every gift I received, you know, because sometimes somebody doesn't want to help you, but the help that they reluctantly give does help you, that is still a gift. And so now I have a different perspective and I just realized that, wow, if somebody gives me nothing, well, we're kind of back to the exact same place that we started. Before I met them, I had nothing from them. Now I've met them, I still have nothing from them. Okay, it's just neutral. And if they give me something that I perceive as a gift, it's like, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving a gift to me. And if they give me something that's negative, it's a gift too, because it's gift, it's information. It's, oh, okay. You behave this way. Thank you for telling me. And thank you, because now I will make sure that I'm not in a position to receive this kind of gift from you that I don't want anymore. But what I do realize is that I am the one choosing, not them. It's me. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the fact that we are the ones choosing in every experience and every relationship that we have. And the reason I say that is I want you to feel powerful because you are. Not because we're making up your power, but because you actually are powerful. And I want you to recognize your power. So the first and most important thing I want to share is that you are powerful. And it really does depend on you. It will always depend on you. Now, I'm not naive to say that there are not bad actors, if we want to call them bad. Maybe they're good actors too. But there's some people who kind of come at you with a malicious intent. And maybe they do throw out microaggressions or they're trying to harm you. It feels like they're really trying to harm you. I need you to know that no matter how bad the player, You are the one making choices. You are powerful, and I want you to own your power. I didn't own my power when I first started, and that's why I just ascribed so much to so many people. I said, well, if I'm not doing well, it's because you as a mentor are not helping me do well. Well, if I'm going in the wrong direction, it's because you as a division director are not directing me the right way. If I'm feeling disrespected, it's because you as a colleague are disrespecting me. But what I realize now is that I was choosing. And I was choosing to allow them to drive my experience. I think differently now. And I realize now that I am in the driver's seat. I am in charge. I am the one setting the direction for my life. And I wish I had recognized it sooner. And that's why I share it with you today, so that I hope you recognize it now. Now, how do I think? Well, I realize that if someone's being a bad actor, and I don't want to use that term because a bad actor is really a subjective assessment. Like, in what way are they bad? They could be doing something that I feel is harmful. It doesn't make them a bad actor. They're just acting and I perceive it as bad. But regardless, let's call them a bad actor. If someone I perceive as being a bad actor, my job is to secure my security, right? Oh, bad actor person. You lashed out. Ooh, it gave me a big bruise. Guess who's not coming back tomorrow for another bruise? Me. And it's not on you. You do what you do. But I get to decide if I want more bruising or not. And if I've decided the bruising is not for me, then I don't come back. But it really takes me taking ownership of my career to get to a place of abundance, to not say, wow, if I don't take a beating, I may never succeed. It's not true. And maybe that is one of the reasons why I stayed in some situations that I shouldn't have, or and continue to blame others while continuing to take lumps, is because I had a sense of scarcity. And I thought, oh, if I don't take this, then I can't succeed. And it was not true. And so one of the things I've done over time, and I'm so grateful to my network of coaches and mentors and sponsors who really helped me grow and have helped me understand that my job is to understand truth, is to meditate on truth. Is there only one mentor for me? Is there only one person who can help me get to the top? Is there only one manuscript that will make or break my career? Is there only one grant for me? No, of course not. There's more. There will always be more opportunities. And if I miss this one, there'll be another one. No, the world won't end. No, my career will not die. I will always have another opportunity. And I stand up and I do the things I need to do, but I recognize that I don't allow a mindset of scarcity to lead me to accept things that I shouldn't accept. And so the first thing I want to share is that I'm choosing, and I hope you recognize that you're choosing too. And here's the challenge. When we first start in our academic careers, especially when we're early career, we have this feeling of powerlessness. And I just want to share that it is just a feeling. It's not real. You are not powerless. You've never been powerless, but you can definitely feel powerless. And part of that is because our training leads us to a place of learned helplessness. Have you heard of that experiment? And I think it was Pavlov, and forgive me if it was not, but the experiment, this researcher, let's not call him Pavlov because I'm not sure that's who it was, but this researcher did with dogs where they shocked dogs. I'm not even sure that would be allowed now. Maybe it would be, I don't know, but it was not okay. They shocked the dogs, and I think the dogs couldn't help. They couldn't help it, right? They just got shocked no matter what they did. And it got to a point where they didn't even try to escape anymore. They were just like, I'm going to get shocked. I'm just whatever. And they just sat there and they just kept getting shocked. I'm sure I'm not remembering the experiment exactly right. But anyway, it's learned helplessness. It's that ultimately over time, you learn a lie that you can't help yourself. And it's not true. But you believe it. And so you believe it and you respond that way. But in reality, you are so powerful. And if you've learned how to be helpless, wow, there's an opportunity to learn how to be powerful again. And so maybe that's the second thing that I'm sharing with you. The first is that you are powerful. You are choosing. And the second is that if for whatever reason you feel like you're powerless, you feel like you're not choosing well, Here's an opportunity to learn how to choose. And that seems to be easier said than done. Like, I almost hear you saying to me, oh, well done, Tayosi. Okay. So I just go and I just learn how to not be powerless. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Because if I knew, I would have already done that. Bear with me for a moment. I think what I'm saying is that the moment you recognize that you're in charge, but you feel like you're not in charge, or you feel so powerless, you're like, there is no way I could be in charge. It's an opportunity for you to ask yourself, well, where can I go? Where can I go to get back my power? Where can I go to find it again? Where can I go to feel as if I'm really the one running the ship? And you are. But if you don't feel like you are, if you feel like other people are tossing and turning you every which way, it's like, where can you go? Because growing in confidence is a skill. It's not something that just happens to people like, oh, she's so confident. She's so lucky. Not true. Anybody who's confident has been practicing how to grow in confidence. And I tell you, it is a skill that can be learned. Confidence is a skill that can be learned. Feeling powerful is a skill that can be learned. Taking ownership of your career is a skill that can be learned. Everything you need to succeed in your career can be learned. If you feel like you are missing anything in any way, including feeling powerless, feeling like you're missing power, you have an opportunity to go and find someone who will help you learn how to get it back. And this is the point at which I say, this is where coaching is so powerful and so important. And I hope that if you don't have a coach, you will connect with me. And if you even don't connect with me, that you would connect with someone who can help you learn the skills you need. Now, I'm not saying that this coach will teach you everything you need. I'm not even saying that I will, but I'm saying that everything you need that you feel like you don't have, you have access to. And it's an opportunity for somebody to help you connect to how to get access to what you need, whether that is helping you recognize who in your life can help you get it, or whether that is the coach giving that to you, or whether that is somebody supporting you to help you find what you already have, or help you find all the skills that you already need. You have every opportunity to go and do that. And I invite you to do that. The third thing I want to share, and I've shared it before, but I really do think it bears repeating, that anything anybody gives you, receive it as a gift. Yes, it could be a gift that you consider good. Let's say this mentor invited you to participate on a manuscript that's being submitted. That feels really good. It's a gift, and I hope you say thank you. I hope you don't say, well, it's about time. You give all your other mentees papers, so now you're giving me a paper. Please don't be like me. That was me. Not that would have been. No, that was me. Sometimes I had a chip on my shoulder. Oh, so help me God. I've grown a little bit now, so I'm glad that I don't do that anymore. And I hope that you're not like me, but let's say you are. And someone gives you something and you're like, yeah, this paper is a case report. And you give the other person an original research manuscript. I want you not to do that. I want you instead to say, thank you for this gift. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're at the place where you want to be writing original research manuscripts and not case reports, and the person that you're calling your mentor is not giving you the opportunity to write original research manuscripts as you would want, I want you to still take that case report as a gift in two ways. One, as a gift of recognizing that every publication counts for you. Every publication, yes, there are hierarchies of publication because in life we're always creating hierarchies. So there you go. There are hierarchies of publication, but every publication is still beneficial. And so if somebody says, here's a case report, say thank you, because it's a chance to grow your writing skills. It's a chance to probably be first author. And no one's going to really dispute that case report authorship with you. So it is a gift. And if you're looking for more than that kind of gift, it is also a gift to you to recognize what kind of opportunities this person is gifting to you and to decide if you need to move on to a different gift giver or if you need to figure out how to create and open your own gift. Recognize that it is a gift. If someone is giving you something that you feel like is less than what you are worthy of, receive it as a gift to recognize that you're going to need to move on from that person as the source of that particular gift in the way you want to receive it. But recognize that it's still a gift. And so for everything everyone gives you, I want you to do better than I did and just say thank you. Say thank you so much for this great gift. I appreciate it. And then you recognize that you need a greater gift. And then you begin to make plans for the greater gift. And this is the challenge. If, like me, you are stuck in a mindset of scarcity, you're like, well, I have to take only this gift from this one mentor because if this one mentor leaves me, my life will be over. And because of that, you're like, this must just be the gifts I'm stuck with and therefore my life is over. No, don't do that. Recognize that if this mentor can only give you this kind of gift, that's the kind of gift they can give. And if you want a greater gift, you got to go find it elsewhere. And sometimes you can't easily find it. And so you've got to figure out, how do I create this gift for myself? If somebody cannot give me the gift of original research, how do I create this gift for myself? And I don't want you to look at me or listen to me and think, okay, that sounds really far-fetched. I'm an early career faculty and you're asking me to create my own gift of original research? That sounds crazy. I just want to say, don't call it crazy just yet. Just pause and say, how can I? Because the moment you begin to ask yourself, how can I, your brain, a very highly developed, sophisticated, mean, lean fighting machine, kicks into gear and says, well, how can I? And then begins to create opportunities to make how can I happen. And I would dare venture to say that if your brain has been stuck in, woe is me, life is over, I lucked out with a bad mentor, I would say that if you gave your brain the opportunity to ask and answer the question, how can I, your brain would do more than you have given it opportunity to do. And so I want to invite you to always ask that question, how can I receive everything you're given as a gift? And I really do mean this. Let's say you have, again, I hate to use the word bad actor, but let's call a bad actor colleague who's manipulative and always trying to undermine you. And the moment you figure it out, you want to be so mad and so livid. Okay, be mad and livid. Do it for 2 minutes, but please don't do it for too long. Certainly don't let the sun go down on that being so mad. Receive it as a gift. Because when somebody tells you, I am a two-faced person, I want you to say thank you so much for telling me you are two-faced because we are not going to be working together again. And you say thank you for telling me. Because if someone is two-faced and you don't know, they're going to continue to undermine you for a long time. But the moment you know, it's like, oh, thank you so much. Oh, you told me. Now I get why everything has been feeling so weird between me and you for the last 3 years. Thank you for revealing yourself. It is a gift. Say thank you. And I know you don't feel like saying thank you. What you really feel like doing is snapping the person, but you shouldn't do that because it's not the right thing to do. I want you to recognize it as a gift because it is. For someone to tell you, I will treat you poorly every time I see you is a gift, because then you get to make the decision. They don't get to see you very often. You're like, oh, is this how you treat me every time you see me? Okay, well, thank you. How do I make sure that I don't show up in your vicinity anymore? And we are always choosing where we show up. And you might be like, oh, no, this is my mentor. I always have to see them. I want to ask you, do you really? How do you ensure that this person who treats you poorly is not part of your daily commute? How do you do it? So receive everything as a gift. When it looks like it's bad, still receive it as a gift, because that person has told you how they will treat you. And now you get to choose whether you show up where they are or not. But remember, going back to the first thing I said, you are powerful. You're making choices. Seize the opportunity to make the choices that move you in the direction you want to move. So what am I calling you to do? Number one, I'm calling you to recognize your power. I'm inviting you to stop saying, I don't have power. Woe is me. I wish I was a different color. I wish I did this. I wish I wasn't. Stop. I know it's challenging. I am not here to pretend that being a person of color in academia is easy. That would be such a joke. But I am here to say that it is no longer the reason for your not advancing, because we recognize now that you are powerful. And so I'm inviting you to own your power. No, you don't have control over all of life's situations. And so I don't want you to focus on the places you don't have control. I do want you to focus on where you do have control, where you do have power. And I want you to expand that power and continue to expand it daily, 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 grow and expand that power. And if you don't know how to do it, get with someone who can help you grow. Get with me. I would love to be your coach. And it doesn't have to be me, but get with someone who can help you grow if you are not able to do it yourself. Number one, recognize and own your power. Second thing I'm calling you to do is to create what you want to see. I know this is not the first time I've said that, but it's so important that it bears repeating. If you don't have the kind of mentor you need or you want, how can you create the kind of mentor you want? Now, okay, you're not going to create a new person. You're not going to manipulate someone into becoming what they don't want to be. But what does the person before you have that you can get from them? Maybe it's criticism. And, you know, criticism is one of those things where we're like, I hate criticism. You know, criticism doesn't feel good, but it is important when people give it to you because they are telling you, you know, the worst case scenario, or they're telling you how other people who really hate your work will respond. And you want that perspective because then you can hedge against those bets. You're saying, oh, they're going to say, how dare you come down so hard on this recommendation? It's like, oh, great. Now I know I need to write in like a way to temper this particular perspective. So the person who's giving you criticism, if that's the only thing they give you, it's still good. Receive it and go find the other person who's going to give you a few more positives. Maybe that person is only positive. When they see something bad, they can't even say it. They're so positive. Great. Receive the positive and recognize that, you know, that's what they're giving you. And then go find the other person. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, yes, your one amazing mentor may not rest in one person, and it's okay. But find the pieces that are present in that one person and use them for your benefit. And then go to the other person to use that, what they give you for your benefit, until you have accomplished the great mentor that you want until you've been able to get that out of many different people. Do it. Don't lament the fact that you don't have the one great mentor. Most of us don't. And it's okay, because one person was never meant to be everything to us. You know what? Maybe it was your mom that did that. And thank you for your mom. For some of us, maybe we can't even say that of our moms. One person was not meant to be everything to you. But take what you can from each person before you. Take what you can because you are choosing. And the third thing I want to invite you to do is receive everything you're given as a gift, even the bad things. Yes, even the bad things. I'm not saying you should receive the bad things specifically, right? Someone's abusive. Oh, receive the abuse as a gift. I am not saying that. Please do not hear what I'm not saying. What I am saying is receive the information of that abuse as a gift. When somebody says, I will yell at you, receive the information as a gift. Say, thank you for sharing with me that when I show up, you would get to a point where you could disrespect me by yelling. And now I know that you're not going to be in my circle of mentors. Thank you for giving me the gift of that information. So please receive everything as a gift. The great things, the easy things, an invitation to publish a manuscript. Yes, receive that as a gift too. But even the ugly things, receive them as gifts too. Receive the information, not the actual act, the information as a gift, and then use it to your benefit. I want to say, a woman of color in hematology, it has been such a pleasure talking with you today. I am so grateful for this opportunity. I hope that this particular conversation has blessed you. I hope it's been a benefit to you. If it has, I'd love for you to let me know. I know it is. Some of you do like reach out to me personally or by text or by phone. Those of you who know me, thank you so much. I appreciate all the words of encouragement. They really do encourage me. And I'd love to hear how this resonates for you if you haven't yet shared with me. Please subscribe to our channel and or to the podcast, and definitely still leave us a review, because that allows other people to find us as well. And so if you're asking, what can I do for Toyosi Onwemena to support her? I would say it's leaving me a 5-star review and a heartfelt one too. So, I mean, don't make up anything, but if you feel like you benefit, and please leave us a review. All right. I just want to remind you, a woman of color in hematology, you are a gift. Recognize the power of that gift, and please keep wrapping that gift, giving it to the world, and being ready as they open it to rejoice and celebrate in the amazingness and the beauty of the gift that is you. Thank you for listening. I look forward to talking with you again next time on the Heme Consults podcast. Take care.